The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God shall be filled. Shall be filled. David said, he fills up my cup, it's running over. The songwriter said, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. So, tonight, there are some things that... There are a lot of deep things in God. These things that I would like to get into, they are spiritual things. And people who are carnal-minded, they don't get spiritual things. You can't give them spiritual things because they don't understand spiritual things. And they have to come by revelation. They have to be revealed to a person. But we're far enough down the road that we ought to be able to receive some spiritual things. I remind you so often that the Bible says, Paul speaking said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't. But he said, if you'll let me speak unto you as unto spirituals, the Bible says, I'll show you great and mighty things, God has said, that you know not. So then I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Because I've received a lot of wonderful things in my lifetime. And I'd certainly love to be able to share them with you. A lot of things we have shared with you down through the years. There's, someone would say, hundreds of things, no doubt, Brother Pike, that you have shared with us. No, there's thousands of things that we have shared with you. Without the slightest bit of exaggeration. Thousands of things that we have shared with you. And we have here, during the time of the ministry, shared many, many, multiplied hundreds of things with you that we have on tape here. There's probably got 1,000 tapes or better, I would think, Bill, or... 2,300. Got 2,300 tapes here that have things on them that we've shared with you. Many things on these tapes that we've shared with you, and... Then we have talked to some of you till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and sometimes all night long. We did this for a number of years, just feeding the brethren and talking with them so that they would not be lacking in anything in the wonderful things of God. Patiently working with you, trying our very best. Paul said, travailing until Christ be formed within you. Many times in a great travail through the night, tired and weary and whatever, but going on that Christ might come forth in your life. Whereas some has taken heed, some has reaped from it, some has not. Some has not given the earnest heed to the things that they've heard, and they've let them slip, and they don't have these things. Neither have they incorporated them in their life, being gullible for the things of the world like Judas was when he was with the group, having their mind on the things of the world and not on the things of God. They are now a full-grown Judas. And they are now reaping the bitterness of evil that the poison of the asp has left in their lives because of the things that's happened to them in that they did not go on with God. See, so this thing is a thing of the heart. Being religious is not enough. If you don't have it in your heart, then you've not been born again. And believing is not enough. For the few believe there's one God, the devil believes also and trembles. So just believing isn't going to take you to heaven. It takes faith, and that comes from the heart by the hearing of the word of God. That's what it takes to translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. The only way to escape death is by faith. And that faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we spoke to you about today. All right, so then we tell you these things because we want to help you. And we want to lead you. Not mislead you, but we want to lead you. Someone would say, well, I think what you want to do, Brother Pike, is just use me. Well, that's good discernment. I hope everybody can get that sharp discernment. Because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use you. I want to use you. You say, Jesus, use me. Someone would say, well, you're not Jesus, but the Bible said I'm sitting in his stead. You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. All right, I'm beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God. And it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us. The Bible said they shall all be taught of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I've got his royal blood flowing through my veins. And in a vision I saw while I was in heaven, standing with outstretched arms. And I watched the Lord Jesus. And I was saying, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So then the Bible said, we stand in his stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ, in that we are the body of the Lord Jesus, as members in particular. And while this great, wonderful Christ as to the head of the church is not here in his human person, then that means that the body of the Lord Jesus are the members of those that are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And as to where one is, as to what he's doing, then he at that very moment is the speaker, as to do all things as unto the Lord, and speaking as the oracle of Christ. So then, I would say unto you, then ye are gods. Ye that are born again, ye are gods. Someone would say, well, I'm just a man. Well, I know that. You know, I can look at that and tell. But if I do that, then I'm looking at a lying vanity, because the Bible says not to know anybody after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if I look at you and know you after the flesh, when you've been born again and that flesh is dead, buried, gone, it's not in the eyes of the Lord God of heaven, then I'm not looking through the eyes of the Lord God of heaven. I'm looking through my own earthly eyes, and all I can see is lying vanities, because Solomon said all is vanity, 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 and vexation of the Spirit. So I have to look at you according to the eyes of Christ. Judge you by righteous judgment according to the judgment of Almighty God. So I have to understand you according to that which God hath made you to be. All right, let's read from 1 Corinthians. This is chapter 2, and let's begin at the first verse. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spirituals, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundations can no man lay than than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in man, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. All right. A lot of things here are outstanding. And we would have to take a long, long time to be able to comment on these things. But at the same time, there are some things that we'd like to speak concerning. And one of those things is that the world doesn't know. I have never seen. The great scholars have never gotten into it. All of the diplomacies of life has never brought it to surface. And it is hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And with all of the educational systems of the world, it is but foolishness in the sight of God. With all the science falsely, so-called, as Paul said, learning, science, knowledge, he said it's just a bunch of foolishness to God. But he said, with you, you have the real wisdom of God, and you have the real understanding of God. And said, these that are out there in that intellectual field are just men, mere men, that are measuring one another by their own intellectual abilities and giving scholarships according to their own intellectual desires and whatever they hatch up out in the world. You know, if you can fit that, well, they'll share with you, you know, and they'll make you whatever they are, which means a fool. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So the Bible said it's foolishness. All of this is foolishness, but there is something that is not foolishness, and that is they that are willing to do like Paul and forget everything in the past and say, I count it all as lost, and I'm determined to know nothing among you except Christ, and then bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that way you eradicate every other thought as to a diplomacy of life or anything else. And what you find in the world after that, add it to what you know if it will fit. If it don't fit the foundation, then don't mess with it. Paul here is so wise in what he does. He looks and he says he's got a dispute here between some people concerning himself and Apollos because of baptizing. So he brings it out so neatly that the trumpet may give an uncertain sound to them that are looking for a way out from under leadership and oversight, so that they can go out hoboing, hitchhiking through the world on their own, you know, and do whatever they feel to do, like the prodigal. So he makes it real clear here, and yet it gives such an uncertain sound that they can't prepare themselves to the battle. For he that is looking for a lie, he can find a lie. You know, and whatever you look for, like the song we wrote a long time ago, you're going to find just what you look for. So then if you're looking for a way out of leadership and you don't want anybody to lead you nor guide you, well, God will just let you slip right on out. And he'll give you these things to where the trumpet will give an uncertain sound and you can slip right out and you'll never know it. Just slip right out into the mire. Like Billy said again, Bill, he said, you know, if you go out with the hogs and just waller in the mire. Just get down with them, you know, and waller in the mire. So you can do that. You can do that because God so fixes it that way. Here's Apollos, and Apollos has nothing as to what God has given to Paul. Paul has been struck down. He's a chosen vessel. He's been processed for many years in the Old Testament learning, and then he's brought about to another thing as to the anointing of God to bring the revelation, to unveil the wonderful hidden mysteries of what he's been taught. And here's Apollos, mighty in the scripture, but when it comes to having been the chosen vessel as to Paul, it is Paul that is responsible for his conversion. But nevertheless, people get divided over it, and Paul, he brings himself down to the same level, puts himself on the same level, and says, "Now take a good look," said, "both of us are just men. Who is your master? Who are you following?" And he points out that we should follow Christ, and he takes him completely out of the hands of men and puts him over into the hands of God. And then he turns around and he says, "Now you follow me as I follow Christ." Let's give the Lord a hand. With all of his wisdom, he knew just exactly what to do. And then he says here, when he gets everything all set up, he said, "For we are laborers together with God. And ye are God's husband, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me." He said, "Now I'm the wise master builder." Let's give him another hand. I just left Apollos out completely, you know, as far as those things as what he could do to interrupt. He said, and this is a foundation. If you'll notice, he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." Didn't say anything about Paul slaying anything. He said, "I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundations can no man lay." That pretty well done, didn't it? All right, he said, "I'm the foundation layer, and I've laid it, and nobody else can lay it." So that's it, and that settled the dispute. You love the Lord? Amen. See, God knows how to take care of his own, and he knows how to let the trumpet give an uncertain sound, that they that are foolish just slip right off into the mire, and they that love the Lord can get the revelation and look right through it and go on following Christ to be able to get this wonderful revelation. God had given Paul the revelation, and Paul had been caught up into the third heaven and saw things it was not permissible for man to utter. And this was the great thing that God had given to Paul, and Paul was trying to tell him not to be natural. He said, "For the natural man is not going to get the things of God." And he said, "Here you are disputing over baptism and the different things that you are doing." He said, "Are you not yet natural?" He said, "Aren't you carnal? Don't you understand that you're nowhere in God to get something from God? Here you are having a childish dispute." That's what he was trying to tell him without hurting him. Like when he blamed Peter. Though Peter had the keys to the kingdom, though Peter walked on the water, though Peter raised the dead, yet he said, "I blame Peter to his face," because he was to be blamed. So then, here having the understanding of God, he knew the plan of God, and he knew when there was error, even in a great, mighty man like Peter. So it's so wonderful to know that these things, having been hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, now they're made revelation to babes such as will learn. And so then, if you're willing to learn, then you can have this great, wonderful knowledge of God, even the unveiled mystery. So he said, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God." For the Bible said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." You know, he said, "Well, it's just a simple thing, Brother Pike." It is true, I say so often, that salvation is simple. You just repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you receive the wonderful infillment of the Holy Ghost. "For the promise is unto you and your children, as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." But folks, let me tell you, after you get this wonderful Holy Ghost on the inside, he's got a lot of things to say. The Bible said, and he will guide you, he will lead you into all of the truths and all of the righteousness of God. For this wonderful Holy Ghost is nothing less than the Spirit of Christ himself, and that body has been taken, set at the right hand of the Father as a blood-dipped vesture, as the atonement for man's sins, and that great Christ on the inside, the Holy Ghost, has come back down to you and I, and now we're his body according to the measure that you allow as of him to dwell within you.
And now then, ye have Christ on the inside of you. You have eternal life on the inside of you. Now ye are God's, and now ye are the members of the God body, and now ye have this great, wonderful knowledge and wisdom of Almighty God, even this heavenly treasure that is made known to the church, the heavenly treasure that is now within our earthen vessel. So we find that it is a great, mighty mystery. For great is the mystery of godliness. We read to you over in the Revelation of John, how it says, and when this angel sounds as to the seventh trumpet, then the mysteries of God should be finished. And if you'll notice, when we read that to you over there, it says that when he sounds, it shall be finished. Six it sounded, and now here there's an angel that stands with one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, his hand raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And saying that John eat the little book. And he says now there's going to be another trumpet sounding. And when this trumpet sounds, he said this is going to finish the mysteries of God. And sure enough, that's in Revelation 10 and 7. Then all of a sudden in Revelation 11, 15, this angel sounds. This great trumpeter sounds. This last angel sounds. And when he sounds, there's a great voice that gives a declaration. Now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. So then in 11:15, when this seventh angel sounds, then we look to see when it happened, and we find out it happens right there in the end of the world, because when he sounded, the voice said, and now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So there's no mistaking as to when this angel sounded. And then the Bible says, a voice spoke and said, now it is time to give reward unto God's holy apostles and prophets. So then it was the end of the world. And we find out then that this last voice was the sound in the end of the world. Well, as I say, then God, he lets the trumpet give an uncertain sound. We'll just be preaching along and we'll say something and somebody will say, well, I don't believe that. And so the trumpet gave an uncertain sound and off they go, you know. Off they go to do their own thing. And then you get a little farther down the trail and say, I don't believe that. And off somebody else goes. And what it is, you know, what it is the people of God, they're trampling the wheat. They're trampling the wheat. And the big winnowing fans are going, you know. That day it was like this. But the big winnowing fans are going and they're trampling the wheat. And every time they trample the wheat, the chaff will come loose from the wheat. It's dry, you know, and it'll come loose and it'll fly up and the winnowing fan will catch it and away it'll go. Away it'll go. Somebody fanning while somebody tramples, you know, or fanning while you trample, and away the chaff goes. And that's what we're doing. We're trampling the flowers of God, and we're trampling the wheat. The wheat isn't going to fly away because it's heavy. It'll fall down. But that light chaff, it'll just dry, and it'll just fly away. See, and all of a sudden the chaff is separated from the wheat. That's what we're doing. We're trampling the flowers, and every now and then somebody says, well, I don't believe it. I won't have it. I don't want it. You know, and we say, hallelujah, praise God, there goes some more chaff. All right, so we see this thing, how great and how mighty it is that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. So you're not going to be able to study it out of a book. You're not going to be able to get it out of college. In the first place, it's not in the book. In the second place, it's not in the college. And the reason it's not in the college is because colleges are built for men, and that's for professors, and it's not in the professors. It's like I said, concerning healing. You've got doctors. You've got all kind of instruments that help sick folks. You've got doctors. You've got scientists that puts together all these medical remedies. But when grace is lifted, when the blood is taken away, then there isn't going to be any healing medicine, because hospitals are built for men who have ability to put together these little formulas to come up with some kind of medical aid. As they study the atomic world out here, as to those that little things out there that will react according to the atomic particles in your body and how they can counteract and what they can put in there that'll kill a disease, as to one a power and won't kill the other power. You're like a living germ and like a germ that takes life. See, and they go through all these things. But when God lifts everything and grace is gone, there won't be any wisdom among men. There won't be any healing in the hospital. And there won't be any healing medicine. There won't be anything that can give you relief from pain, because the Bible said the kingdom that will set in at that time will be the kingdom of the Antichrist, and it will be a kingdom of darkness, that his whole kingdom shall be filled with darkness, and they shall literally gnaw their tongues with pain, because they won't have any understanding. There won't be any healing medicine. They won't even be able to die out of their misery. And that's why the Bible also says that we as a people should pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Because folks, they're coming. And the only way that we can escape these things that's coming on the earth is to prepare our heart that we might make the translation, that we may be able to translate and go out of this world. Now, I'm not in this world, as to say your world. I'm not in that world. See, I'm not in that world because God chose me out of that world, and he hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoration. And so here I am. I am enjoying heaven because the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. For you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until that last 7 years comes through the tribulation. And then on the other side, the great millennium comes. And then all things will be restored when Jesus himself shall sit upon a throne in this very world after that the curse has been lifted. So then you that are Christians, then you know that God has secured you. The Bible said he has succored you, or that is, he has looked down and at a time accepted, he has succored you. God, the eternal spirit, has looked down into the world, and at Calvary, the Bible said at the appointed time, he looked down, he heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death. Even going into the heart of the earth, Jesus preached to the souls in prison and loosed them from death. When he went down into the natural earth, it indicated that this physical being of mine that was made out of the dust, he also by spirit went into my heart and loosed my spirit from this body and separated my body, the body of this death, from my inner being as the spiritual angelic person on the inside, folded that body up, laid it away, baptized it in the name of Jesus. That is to say, Jesus was smitten for me and buried, and that took care of me. So I'm buried in the watery grave in the lovely name of Jesus, and my spirit went back to God who gave it at death. And so then I'm dwelling with Christ Jesus in God, whom the heavens have received. So I'm free from that. See, God heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. So I don't have to worry about death anymore, because I can never die. I pass from death unto life. I can never come into condemnation, because the Bible says there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And being born of God and not being in the flesh, I cannot walk after the flesh. How can I walk after the flesh if I'm not even in the flesh? The Bible says I'm not in the flesh. So if I'm not in the flesh, I can't walk after the flesh. And if I can't walk after the flesh, then the Bible says there's no condemnation in me. For who is he that can lay anything to my charge? I'm God's elect. By foreknowledge, God hath elected me unto grace. Esau, he said, I've hated. He said, Jacob have I loved. And so then through Christ, I've been loved of God. And I've been elected unto grace. Someone will say, well, Brother Pike, you know, you're mighty boastful, but you don't know. Supposing, there ain't no supposing about it. You know, I praise God for one thing in the Bible. Don't suppose. It's just facts. It just tells it like it is. You know, and the Bible says we do know that we pass from death unto life. And that because we love the brethren. Got anybody that loves the brethren? Looks like you pass from death unto life. Let's give him another hand. All right, so we got something to shout about, something to rejoice over, because we are no longer bound by that is of the tombs. As it was said when the woman came to look for Jesus, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? See, we're not among the dead. Isn't that right? We're not among the dead. Who's dead? Those that are down there in that world. But who are we and where are we? We are with Christ the living. We are in heaven. We're sitting in the heavenly places. And in heaven, they don't have dead folks up there. Let's give the Lord another. All right, somebody say hallelujah. They don't have funerals up there. Don't even have to have insurance up there. All right, so then it's a wonderful thing to know that we are a child of God, that we are a Christian, and that we are not bound to the mind as to the beggarly elements of this world, but we've escaped this through Christ, and now we have the mind of Christ. And someone would say, well, what does this do for us? I remember coming up, you know, during my lifetime, I've had so much discouragement because at the time I was coming along, you know, my younger years, I didn't understand the Bible. And somebody would come along with their Georgia scripture or Florida scripture or whatever it was, you know, and they say, now God doesn't want you to know everything. Don't pressure yourself. You know, it's just a lot of thoughts. Well, there's some things here that it seems to me like I ought to know. Don't you worry about that. You know, God doesn't want you to know that. Or that was, they said, we're ignorant and we don't know. And the only way we want to keep control of you is to make you believe that you shouldn't know. Well, they didn't say it that way, you know. It's like I've said before, it's like a man that came to me about Brother Branham and Brother Branham's followers, whereas Brother Branham was one of the greatest men that ever lived. You know that. And he had some of the greatest followers. But this man was telling me how it was all over. We shouldn't do anything. Not anything at all. Don't do anything. And I thought, well, you know, not to do anything. I couldn't quite get that together because it looked to me like he was doing a whole lot of things. He just wasn't doing nothing for God. But nevertheless, he said, you don't do anything. I said, well, what do you do when you go to church? So the pastor said, you don't do anything. You don't do anything. You just sit there. You just sit there and you just listen. And they play the tapes or whatever. I said, well, what does the pastor do? He said, well, he tells us these things. I said, well, looks to me like he's the one who's doing everything and you ain't doing nothing. You're his subject and he's in a Brother Branham's. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then I feel that way about it and I see it that way, you know. So then I love the truth. And so God gives me the truth. And today I'm still trying to do something because in the light of what I understood of the Bible, God said, do all that you can. And he said, the servant that I so find doing at my coming, I will make him ruler over all that I've got. That is, if I find him feeding my sheep. So I'm still trying to do something. A man said, well, Brother Branham said, all we do is lay out in the sun, Brother Pipe, and we ripen. I said, but it looks to me like some have laid out in the sun and they've rotted. Let's give the Lord another thing. And some of them started drinking beer and some of them started doing all kinds of things. And every time you'd go to talk to them about God, they'd say, grace, that's it, Brother Pike, grace. I'm counting on that grace. And I thought, the disgrace that you're in, you'll never get near God's grace. You're so disgraceful in the sight of God that you'd never get near true grace. Let me tell you, folks, grace is wonderful, and it's for you and I by the blood, like I preached this morning. But the Bible teaches that you're going to have to repent of your sins. You're going to have to completely change your life, eradicate all of your ways that's contrary to God, get the love of the world out of you, and turn your face toward God and do everything that's possible to live holy and to live just and to live pure, to search this Bible, to grow in the knowledge of God. At the same time, you'll grow in the grace of God, going on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and seeking a full reward, doing everything possible within you to be holy in body and in spirit, and then grace applies to you. But if you fail to do that, there is no grace for you. There is nothing but disgrace for you. That's the only way that grace applies. And I challenge any person in the entire world to prove it wrong. You can't possibly do it. That's the only way that you'll ever get grace. That means that millions of people are going to be lost and turned into hell. David spoke of the multitudes turned into hell. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Do you believe that you're going to be able to frolic, do the things of the world, go after the things of the flesh, go after the ball games and the movies and all of these things in the world, and that God is going to take you into heaven? Folks, let me tell you, if that's the way it's going to be, I'd just sooner stay down here. I got enough problems with it down here. Just having religious things and the religious affairs among the people. And to go up there in heaven, it's going to be conglomerated like that. That'll be the biggest place of confusion that's ever been. I don't want to go up there. Somebody says, well, bless God, I want to go no matter what it is. Well, I don't. So you know how I feel, and I know how you feel. Let's give him another. All right, so heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace, and sin can never enter there. And the Bible said, without those gates are the whoremongers and the liars, the cheats, all that love and make alive, they're without. Remember this, folks, there is an interspiritual being. The Bible calls him the Lord from glory, that born-again man. And there is an outer being, and the Bible calls him the beast. You know, you can pump your muscles and you can pump your chest and you can look like a gorilla. That's all right. But the thing is, when you get through looking like one and acting like one, you'll find out that you're thinking like one. Oh, you'd have never done that to start with. See, because that's the devil within you. That's the devil. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I got to have a 16-inch bicep. You know, I know that was way back when I was a boy that was doing that. Boys gonna get married. I was in the Air Force, and every time I saw him, he was pumping his muscles. And I said, well, what are you gonna do? What are you doing? He said, I gotta get this 16-inch, whatever it is. Said, because I'm fixing to get married. I thought, what's that got to do with it? I didn't pump mine to get 16 inches, and I got married. So, see, it is foolishness. God taketh the people of this world and their craftiness. And they are foolish before God. All of this stuff is foolishness. What is it? It is the love of the flesh. Who is the fellow that loves that flesh? It is the devil. That's why Paul called it the body of this death. Can't you just see building the muscles on the body of this death? And him getting stronger and stronger. Death getting stronger and stronger. Can't you just see painting the lipstick, you know, and arching the eyebrows and fixing yourself up like a lizard and hanging rings in your ears and all these kind of things? Can't you just see yourself combing your hair, you know, combing your hair and getting all prettied up here? And the more you comb, you look at yourself, say, the bigger the devil is if I just keep on combing, you know. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. You don't see that. You don't understand that, but that's what the Bible teaches. Seeing you're getting greater and mightier, somebody said, I'm getting more prestige, Brother Pike. I'm getting more prestige. So I said, well, so what? You're more like the devil now than you was yesterday. See, because you're getting more prestige. So I'm gaining a great place in this world, Brother Pike. Like a man said one time, I feel like I'll cast a great shadow across the land. That's really what you do. You know, that's really what you do. Somebody said, I'm getting more money. I'm taking it easy. I'm putting things in the bank. And I got wealth over here and I got wealth over here. And I thought, well, that's fine. The devil's got more to operate on now. See, the more you get, the more you do, the more the devil's got to operate on, and the more that you get out in the world, the more education you get, the more diplomacies you get, the greater you are as to the power of the devil and the number one worker for the devil. Isn't that a discouraging sermon? Boy, I tell you what, I never would fit into society. They wouldn't let me in because everything they do, I tear it down. I have people come here, you know, they feel 10 times worse when they leave than they did when they come. But I'm not talking about children of God. So the devil, he gets discouraged, see. I'm just trying to, in a simple sort of a way, bring the things of God to you in a simplicity that you need to do one thing to that outer person of yours, and that is crucify him, kill him. The Bible said they that belong to Christ have mortified the flesh with the deeds thereof, and to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Somebody will say, bless God, that settles it, Brother Pike. If that's the way the thing is, I don't want it. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. I'll take your part. Just slip your crown on over to me. And I'll take your part because I just love it that way. And I find out the more that I kill the flesh, the more that I am successful in the things of God. And the happier I am and the freer I am from those accusing, frustrating things that try to trample my mind down. So then this is the way that I like it. I like the inner man. I'm willing to trade this life for the world to come. I made the statement this morning. The Bible says that if you try to save your life, if you seek to save your life in this world, that is to get a little gain over here, something over here, an education over yonder, and all these things that's through life. If you seek to save your life in this world, then that means you lost it in that world. Because you're carnal-minded, and the devil savors the things that be of the flesh, and you wanting the things that be of the flesh, so that means that you lost your life in the world to come, and God has let you have this intellectual side of life with your human reasoning, and he has completely taken you away from the things of God. That is to say, Satan is a thief and a robber. And if the love of the world is in you as to the concern of the things of the world, then the love of God is not in you. So someone will say, well, what is the love of the world? Everything you can get your hands on. Everything that you can do with the flesh. What is the love of God? Is to get rid of everything you got and just become His and please Him in every way that you can. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, that's simple, isn't it? Someone says, well, Brother Pike, give me Bible for that. Well, the Bible said in the early church, they did not say that anything that they had was theirs, but they sold all that they had. They give it to the poor that they might follow Jesus. Wasn't that what Jesus taught when he walked the earth? And he come to the rich young ruler and he said to Jesus, the rich young ruler, that is, he said, and what must I do, good master, to inherit eternal life? And this kind of thing, he said, you know the commandments, keep them. Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin. As to the blood, they were still under the law. He said, you know the commandments, keep them. Keep them. He said, this have I done from my youth up. Which he didn't tell the truth. He might have made an attempt to. But the Bible said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Bible said he had a lot of riches that he wasn't sharing with his neighbor with. And Jesus said, well, that's fine. You know, that's fine. He didn't use those terms. That's fine. You know, you kept them from youth up. He said, yet likest thou one thing. Just one thing. Now, somebody says, Brother Pike, if you keep the commandments, you don't lack nothing. Well, that's your philosophy, but I'm talking about the gospel. Now, and here's the gospel. Even the word made flesh is saying, yet likest thou one thing. See, the Bible said, didn't the scriptures preach the gospel to Abraham? And doesn't the heavens declare his handiwork as to Enoch, so that we're left without excuse in every generation? And Jesus said, yet likest thou one thing, go sell all that you have. Now, folks, right there is where we get the hang up. Come on, folks. Right there, somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You mean that I need to get rid of my car, and I need to get rid of my house, and I need to get rid of all that I got? How do you interpret it? Why don't you tell me, and me instead of me having to tell you? He said, sell all that you have. Now, you explain it to me. Surely we've got somebody that can tell me. Explain it to me. What does he mean? You know, if I tell you, I say, well, it don't mean that. So you tell me what it does mean. Folks, it means exactly that. Exactly that. Somebody said, well, praise God, I believe it. I know, because you ain't got nothing to sell. Let's give the Lord a hand. But I'm talking about folks that has got something. Folks that has worked. Folks that has got something. The Bible said a wise man, his substance is precious unto him. He doesn't like to throw it to the wind. But you just frolic and lounge around and build a leech and let everybody else take care of you. You ain't going to do nothing no way or never be anything in the world or in the kingdom of God either. You know, it doesn't bother you to sell what you've got because you've got nothing to sell. And you figure if the other man sells it, he'll have to divide it with you because you're part of the church. But nevertheless, that's Judas. You know, he was carrying the bag and he wanted what was in it. But I'm just saying this to you, that the Bible says, sell all that you have, yet likest thou one thing. Sell all that you have. Why did he tell the man to sell all that he had? Because he needed to crucify the flesh. He had not yet crucified the flesh. He said, sell all that you've got, then take up your cross and follow me. Because, folks, let me tell you, when you get rid of all you've got, you're going to have a cross. You're going to have a cross. Somebody said, well, I feel, Brother Pike, that the way God feels, but I'm not talking about the way you feel that God feels. I'm talking about the gospel. You know, the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And there's a way that seemeth right unto the man or the woman, but the end of that is death. There is a way, and Jesus said, I'm that way. So then I'm talking about the gospel. He had to take up a cross. He had to take up a cross. And what you need to do is take up a cross. You need to deny yourself. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. So it's not what you think. He said, sell all that you have and then take up your cross and follow me. All right, so then we're getting farther on down the trail now. We can see better. The road signs are a lot clearer. That's pointing toward glory. Now then we know that all of these churches is filled with the ball games and the frolics and the riches and the wealth and whatever. We know now that they're on the wrong road because those are the wrong road signs. You can read them and tell. Isn't that right? So then, are all of these churches that's filled with ball games and pool tables and societies and frolics and human desires, are these then of God? Absolutely not. They're of the devil. Someone would say, well, give us scripture, Brother Pike. The Bible said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Said, you cannot eat at the tables of God and eat at the table of devils. They're filled with vomit. What is meant by that? He says, you're lukewarm. I've spewed you out of my mouth. That's vomit. So you need to get in and be hot or be cold. Folks, let me tell you, self-denial is the only way. And to get rid of everything is the only way. To sell out to God is the only way. Because that flesh of yours is going to have to die. It's going to have to die. You may pretty boy it around and pretty girl it around, but it's going to have to die. That body belongs to God, and the Bible said God beautifies the meek with salvation. And you don't need to be going to the beauty parlors so they can twist on your hair. Got a bunch of silly men today, you find them in the beauty parlors or in the beauty parlor women business, taking a bunch of silly women, twisting their hair and getting everything they can get. You know, they're like a bunch of preachers. The Bible speaks of preachers of being this kind that creep into houses and lead astray silly women that's laden with divers lust. You know, they write them a little letter. They say, now what you need to do, you're getting near the crossing and you haven't done all that you could for God in your life. And what you need to do is leave me all that you've got. Put it in the will. And they say, besides, you won't need it then anyway. You can use it all your life. You can frolic on it. You can do what you want to. Just be sure you leave it to me when you die. And so the silly woman, she leaves it to them. You know, but they're smart enough that before she ever dies, they're putting poison in her vein to get rid of her. Like it was said the other day, the son was giving the woman the overdose of morphine because he was heir to what she had. Some of our sisters was staying over the place and they saw this. And sure enough, the woman died in a few days. Whether it was an overdose of morphine or whatever it was, whatever the reaction was, she died. And of course, he got her Mercedes and he's living it up. You love the Lord? So then like an old bunch of buzzards, others stand around, including preachers, waiting until the carcass is dead and then they start gnawing on it. So this means that is the condition of preachers, that is the condition of senators, that is the condition of presidents, that is the condition of the deacons, that's the condition of the average lay member in the church. So the church is not of God, and the system is not of God. The whole world, the whole system is of the devil. And Satan is the prince of this world. All of the ball games are of the devil. All of the systems of the world are of the devil. And they all have to come down. And there's one system that is of God, and that's this holy book right here. That is to say, the Bible. And did you know they're changing this around until they've got all kind of revised versions of this, which is also of the devil. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, so then God is fast turning them over to a reprobate mind, to believe a lie, and to be damned. But folks, let me tell you, we need to examine ourselves, as the scripture says, to see if we're in the faith. And the faith by the hearing of the word of God, not some kind of thing that they have revised, but the word of God. You say, well, you don't know that that's the word of God. I know that this is the word of God. I've read it from cover to cover. I've been through it again and again, and I know that this is the word of God because this word of God spoke to me and revealed itself, and the veil came off of it, and I look back into the eternities before the beginning. And I looked over here beyond the end. Have you ever done that? Sure. Look back before the beginning, and I looked over here beyond the end, and then I was able to put everything in between together. That's the only way it'll work. All right, so he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Where was God before the beginning? Somebody says, Brother Pike, you mean where was God in the beginning? No, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word. I say again, the beginning is you. You're the one that's got a beginning. See, God had to be here before the beginning or he could not have started the beginning. Genesis means beginning. See, God was here when there was no beginning. You understand? And everything emanated out from God as a beginning. And everything that has a beginning has to have an end. But God said, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I have no beginning. I have no end. And he spoke of Melchizedek without beginning or without end. He was not as to one with beginning of years, therefore he did have no ending of years. You know why I'm going to live forever? Do you know why I'm alive eternally? Because I had no beginning. And I don't have any end. Things without beginning don't have an end. Because beginning means there must be an end. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not a time creature. I'm not of this world, Jesus said. I'm not of this world. I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. Someone would say, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes. The Bible said, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He said, I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. As he is, the Bible said, so am I in him. Someone said, well, prove to me where you was in heaven, Brother Pike, before the beginning. The Bible says that before the world ever was, Jesus said, I am. Let's give him a hand. All right. But folks, this thing is so much greater than you could ever imagine. This thing not only has to do with you being holy in spirit, but it has to do with you being holy in body. It not only has to do with an invisible world of that is to come, but a visible world that's going to be changed into that's going to last eternally. And I have the secrets. I thank God for the mystery that was revealed to me. Oh, somebody says you're vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. How could I be when that fleshly mind is dead and buried? That body was dead, buried, because the Bible says that body was the body of the death, and I don't have that thing to mess with anymore. He said, now it's not you living, but it's Christ. Could you imagine Christ having a corrupt mind? You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. All right, so we clap our hands, all you people. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord because we have a love for the truth. We're not turned over to reprobate mind. Therefore, we do understand. But the Bible said the wicked shall not understand nor see when good cometh. So we find that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual things of God, it's foolishness to the natural man. He reasons it out, and when he comes out to it, he says, that's foolish. That's foolish. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And somebody says, well, where's my thoughts going to be? There won't be any of them. Somebody said one time, so well, you have to think some of your thoughts. Have you ever heard of a dead man thinking some of his thoughts? Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, so God is helping us. Dead men don't think thoughts. The Bible said, in the dead know not anything. How many of you feel like you're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus? Got a lot of dead folks around here. I'm glad we got another hand. How many of you feel like you're the resurrected? All right, I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. So I'm just saying that, folks, to bring about a confirmation as to the understanding of God, that we might know that we are the children of the resurrection and that God has given us something great and mighty, and I would like to get into it tonight, but I know that some of those things I can't get into. You've listened real good. It took a long time. But the thing is, I would love to get into some more things because it really is rich and it really is thrilling to know that you are eternal and alive forevermore, and you know what to do to take care of the situation. Someone said, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like you know those things. Well, the Bible says that we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. All things. Don't you think God knows what I'm talking about? God knows what we're talking about. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Don't you believe that mind knew all things? All right, let's give him another hand. Seems like we know where we're going tonight. All right, let's stand together and sing a chorus or two. What must I do then, Brother Pike, to be able to be part of this great, wonderful thing? All you have to do is die. That's all you have to do. Are you willing? Are you willing? Now, if you die, you don't have anything else. Because Solomon said you leave it. The man said, write your will out to God, and then, you know, you'll get a reward in heaven for it. You know the devil's the father of a lie. But anyway, why not use it for God while you got it? He's made you steward over it. As I said today, God don't care if you have a mountain of gold. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not then of your carnal things reap? If others be partakers, am I not the more? So it sounds like that Paul could have used some carnal things too. Paul said, you're Christian, but are you not yet carnal? You're just babies. Could a man be carnal and be Christian? I'm just telling what the Bible said. Just deny yourself. How do you do that? By selling all you have. You know that self-denial? It takes a lot of self-denial. So then, folks, I'm only saying to you that we don't make provisions for the flesh. Our conversation is in heaven. And the Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Someone say, but Brother Pike, thieves doesn't bother me. We stopped today, Betty and I stopped at a Crown station. I was talking to David. That is the boy that played the trumpet. I spoke to you about him this morning playing that song that we'd written, So Amazed. I just happened to recognize him. And David was telling me today that he just pulled an armed robbery on him. He said they came up with a gun and said, this is a stick up. And he said, they robbed us over in Athens. But I just said that to say this. You know, to us, that's robbery. That's the thief. But folks, the Bible said the devil is the thief and a robber. He's robbing you of your health. He's robbing you of your children. He's turning them into beatniks. He's taking them out. He's robbing you of your children, of their love. And he's robbing you of your life. You know, you do a lot of things, folks. A lot of things. But it never really occurs to you while you're doing those things that it's costing you exactly one thing. And that's the greatest thing that you'll ever have in this world outside of Jesus. Everything that you do, it's costing you something. And you know what it's costing you? It's costing you your life. That's what it costs you. Take time to do anything you want to do in life. Whether it's make money, whether it's buy, whether it's build, frolic, whatever. And you're going to find yourself a few days later, a few days older. And that means a few days of your life is gone. That goes on for a number of years. You're going to find that a few years of your life is gone. And you can keep on doing things. And then you're going to find the greater part of your years are gone. The greater part of your life is gone. And then you're going to turn around and look at it. And you're going to say, my God, my God. I've done all these things and I got all these things, but I wasn't aware that it cost me my life. Now, where's my life that I may enjoy these things? Folks, that's why Jesus told him one time, he said to those Pharisees and scribes, he said, isn't life more than meat? They didn't even understand what he was saying. Oh, that is, he said, isn't your life more than the meat? In that you use your life up to get the meat, wouldn't you have been better off to keep your life? And he said, isn't your body more than raiment? Oh, that is, you use up the body so that you can get the raiment and have all these fine things to wear. He said, but isn't your body worth more than that? You're using up your body. What are you going to do with the raiment after your body's used up? So you're living your life and using your life up. And suddenly you look around and you have all the things and you've done all the things you want to do, but it costed you your life. Folks, don't do that. Use your life for Jesus. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth, when the reaping is to the evil days. Draw not nigh when you're going to look and say, I have no pleasure in them. It's just going to be a life of sickness, a life of misery, cancer, TB, problems, heartaches, oppressions, insanity, weakness of the nerves. All these things are going to strike because you're using yourself up. You may still look good in the mirror, but you're using yourself up. You're heading for death. Death is working on you. You've given yourself to death when you give yourself to the flesh and to the body. For Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. I spoke of building the muscles and all these kind of things because we've got a lot of people doing that now. Some in my own family. But hasn't been too long ago that Charles Atlas died. The world's most perfect developed man he was for many years. Spent all of his time on the body. But he died. He died. And that beautiful, perfect body that he was supposed to have, it was found out it was good for one thing, and that was worm bait.
They throwed it to the worms. That's all it ever mattered to. So if you keep pumping, you'll get the fatter and you'll have the bigger muscles and the worms will have more to eat on. All right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Just telling it like it is so that we can understand which way we're headed. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. The altars are open if you'd like to come. God will give to you, and you can have all the carnal things you want. If you don't get carnal minded, so then get born again, get the mind of Christ, and you won't be carnal minded. And then God will give you a good, healthy body. Seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. But if you get these things before you get God, then you have things but no life. And you'll leave them, as Solomon said, to a fool. And another thing, when you get all of these things without Christ, it's the worst thing that you can do because it'll kill you. Satan will lead you to lust. He'll lead you to death. He'll lead you to problems. He'll lead you to sorrow. But if you get Christ, you'll know what to do with them. You won't love them. You'll use them. And they'll be great and mighty as an instrument for Christ Jesus. Somebody said, well, I just can't give them up, Brother Pine. All you ever do is give them up in your heart. Because we own all things. Everything belongs to us. The Bible said all things are yours. To give up a few beggarly elements as to something that's got our mind in bondage to our desire of the flesh, you wouldn't trade that for eternal life? You wouldn't trade that for eternal life? To chew cud and suck on a weed, you'd rather do that than have eternal life? Than to be, as I said this morning, the bride of Christ, the most magnificent thing that heaven will ever see? The very Christ himself, arrayed in all of his glory, for we are one with him, and as he is, so are we in him. For a man and his wife is one, and the Bible said this is a great mystery concerning the church. Let's sing that together, can you? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. When you like to give your body, rather than giving your body to the fashions of this world and to the glamour of this world, to have a bunch of dogs to come by and vomit on you, or to have a bunch of pigs to come by and snort and throw slop all over you. That's what they are, Jesus said. Swines and dogs. They can't help it. That's what they are. Whatever he made them, that's what they are. He ought to know what he made. He said concerning Herod, said, go tell that fox. I do cures today and on the third day I'll be perfected. He knows what he made. They're beast without the mind of Christ, as I said today. They're beast. Hadn't you rather take your bodily form and present it to Jesus by fasting, travailing in spirit, walking around not to be seen of someone, but maybe you're on 2 or 3 day fasting. Nobody knows about it.
And you go to God and you pray in secret for hours and nobody knows about it. And God, who sees in secret, rewards you openly. And everybody sees as to your blessings and prosperity in Christ Jesus. See, and you rather do that and give yourself to God all through your life and project the Savior and let Him use your body for His glory to pull people out of hell, out of the fire. The Bible said, hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. Hadn't you rather do that than give your body to Satan as to the lust of the flesh and to the frivolousness of your face that's fading all the time, your body that's withering up all the time? That's going to be put in a casket one day, that's going to be so weak and feeble it can't do anything unless you walk with Jesus. Like some of the men of old, some of the women of old. Maybe we'll get into that one night. See, hadn't you rather do that? Hadn't you rather give your time to God, your talent to God, your substance to God, to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth don't corrupt? I tell you again, the real thief is Satan. He's stealing your life. He's stealing everything that you've got. So I choose between these things. I differentiate as between good and evil. And the Bible said, the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. You know, Judas says, I'll slip in. They'll never notice me. But he was noticed. Jesus said from the beginning, there's a devil in the midst of us. And folks, there's devils in the midst of us. The Bible said there's false brethren. There's false sisters in the midst of us. They're not serving God. They don't have Christ on the inside. The interest of Christ in His kingdom and the sacrifice as to the multiplying of His kingdom, as to the replenishing of, to establish His laws and kingdom of the earth, they don't have that in mind. Their mind is the gullible desire of prosperity, of fame, of all the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, and they're not interested in Christ Jesus at all. Their glory is in their shame, Paul said. And they're like raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, restless. And there's no peace to the wicked. They're carnal minded. And they're under condemnation, even condemned of their own selves. They can't even get out from under the condemnation of their own thinking, because they've never seen the great vision of Christ, the love of God. Would you like to trade this life for that life to come? This old temporal life for the eternal life? Would you like to trade this old body for the glorious, wonderful, celestial body as to that Jesus had standing on the Mount of Transfiguration? For that's your body, whose members ye are in particular, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. Wouldn't you like to have that? I would. Somebody said, well, what are you going to give up? Folks, I haven't given up anything. I shovel out with a spoon and He shovels in with a steam shovel. I've got so much I don't know where to put it and can't get enough building to put it in. Somebody says, aha, the rich man. Yeah, the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, you're going to tear down your barns and build bigger. Now I'm going to build more barns. I can't afford to tear down none. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so I'm going to fill up all the barns. And then besides that, I can't find enough barns to hold it, so God has offered me heaven. And He says, son, heaven will take care of it. All of it's up here. Don't worry about it. If the barns fall, if the tornadoes get them, don't worry. Your treasures are laid up in heaven. You don't have to worry about all that. So, folks, we're not preaching to you poverty. We're preaching to you eternal riches, natural, spiritual, everything. Everything. Preaching to you preservation of health of the body to give you radiance unto life. We're not teaching you to be a tramp. We're teaching you that you're sons and daughters of God and you don't have to fill your belly with the husk that the swine eat. Do you realize if there's a revelational world, then that means this great grain of revelation is growing in a husk as to a type and a shadow, an allegoric thing somewhere. And all of those things are lying vanities that you see with your eye, and what appears to be is not. And that we're calling those things that are not as though they are, in that these temporal things, they're made by spiritual things. They're not made by things appear, but things that you do not see. And this world is passing away. So it's the husk. Rip it down like we did when we was a boy. Take the grain. The corn out or the grain out. That's what we're trying to do. See, and you're out there filling your belly with the husk of the swine eat. Them people are swine. They're dogs. That's all they have out there. You know, that's all they have. You're giving yourself to the hog pen. See, why don't you let them have their husk? Don't go out there and try to take it away from them. Pass through the land of Esau. Pay your way. Don't bother them, folks. Your inheritance is in Canaan. Why do you want to look back into Egypt and turn back into Egypt in your heart? God smote them for that. Though you come out as to join the crowd, but in your heart you're still out in the world with the love of the world in you, so the love of the Father couldn't be there. See, so why not get away from that? And why not realize that that is the land of Esau and that you're not Esau, you're Jacob. And you don't mess with those things out there. You want to leave those things alone. Get your mind on Christ. Get your conversation in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Sell all that you got. Give to God. That is, sell out as a steward to all that God has you to do. And share with the poor and the needy. Help those that are in need out yonder. It is God, even the Lord thy God, that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And he doesn't add any sorrow. But if you get riches falsely, the Bible says you shall be cut off in the midst of your days. And the end, in the end you shall be a fool. And then whose shall these things be? Whose then shall these things be? In that you're cut off in the midst of the days, the riches are gone. You can't have them. Whose then are these things? You love the Lord. So then let's trade everything in this world for the things of God. I know you're not going to do it. I understand that. No problem. But you must hear about this. Though I know you're not going to do it. But ye that are children of God, you will do it. Ye that love the Lord, you will do it. Let's sing this little song we wrote. I don't need no gold or silver. I don't need no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. All to me, God's everything. So I don't want your gold. And I don't want your worldly fame. All I need is the love of Jesus. All to me. Can you sing that with me? So we don't want your gold and silver. And we don't want your pretty thing. All we want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, he is my king. Sing it again. So I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need no pretty. More of Jesus, for to me, he's everything. Let's sing this little chorus we sing this morning. Go with him through. You know, this is where folks have a problem. I'll go with him. Have you ever been to Israel and been to the place where Jesus prayed all night long? He prayed so fervently, he prayed until his sweat became his great drops of blood. See, he was a man just like I'm a man. And he had to overcome the human part. He had to conquer it because he was going to Calvary. I'll go with them. See, in the garden, he prayed. He prayed until finally he defeated the flesh. Satan was conquered. He was conquered. And the Bible said he offered up supplication with strong crying. And that he did, he was heard of the Heavenly Father. He had to shed off all the things of the world. You think that you're something because you've got a diplomacy and the world wants you. They wanted him for a king. He was such an outstanding person, they'd made him a king. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Can you sing that with me? He had to shed all that off. Every bit of it. So that he could, as a young man, give his life for you and I. And God heard him. Willing to give up all for you. I wonder what we're sacrificing for him. The songwriter said, I'm not worthy of the nails in his hands. He will give me. Think about this now. He'll give me his grace and he'll give me his glory. His glory will not give to another, but he'll give it to me. Because I'm not another. I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. He will give me of his grace and his glory. And he'll go with me. Oh, the Bible said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but lo, I'm with you. Even until the end of the world, when he came to me in Florida and put the ring on my finger, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Jesus said, always, even to the end of the world. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I shall be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. For the Bible said he's a present help in the time of need. Call upon him while he's near. Call upon him while he might be found. Well, that is while there's blood on the seat of atonement, while there's grace, now's the time to call upon him. Today is accepted time. In an accepted time, God has succored us. He's heard us. Now's the time of the loosening of the prisoners. This is accepted day, even the day of the Lord Jesus. Until the day star dawns within your heart. He will give me of his grace and of his glory. Can you sing that? He will give me of his grace and his glory. God will give me of his grace and his glory. And he'll go to sit at my Father's side. Sing that with me. Oh, he's gone over death triumphing. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forevermore. He's gone. I saw the stone, it's rolled back. Gone. I saw the tomb, it's simply gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone.
triumph is gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forever.
Jesus has rolled away the stony heart. And Christ, as to the inner man, the second man, the Lord from glory, he is resurrected from this entombment of that old body of clay. And now, he is dwelling in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Which means that wherever he is, that's where we are. And whatever he is, that's where we are. And the glory that he hath, then we have that also. So then tonight, we have something to rejoice over, something to be happy over. Because we are eternal. We pass from death into life and can never come into condemnation. In the fullness of time, having sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, the fullness of time, he ended time for you and I. And 483 years in time went out, as to the prophecy given to Daniel. And it's been heaven ever since for the church. Been the church ages. And the earth with perspective will not come back in until that last 7 years of Daniel. Then will it come? When it comes back in, there won't be any grace for them that are in the earth. It'll be over. Lucifer will be in the earth. And that'll be that sad time, the day of mourning. Solomon spoke of that when the silver pitcher is broken. So that time is coming, but we're not going to be there. We're not going to be partakers of it. Pray that you might be able to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Let's sing this little chorus.
Jesus poured in some oil and the wine. It's the wine that stoleth my soul. He saw me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And he poured in the oil and the wine.
Sing that with me.
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's that wine that restoreth my soul. Saw me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil.
Can you sing that with me?
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Saw me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine. So Jesus gave her water and water from the well. Jesus gave her water. She went forth to take. She went away a singing and she came back bringing others to the water. Some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave some water, she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water.
Can you sing that with me?
Jesus gave some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave some water from which she couldn't tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to that water.
Loving one more time together.
Jesus gave.
Remember now, Jesus gave us some water. It wasn't from that well. She already had water from that well. But he said, I'll give you water that you won't have to come here and draw. This is an eternal well, waters of life springing up within you. under everlasting life.
Jesus gave her the water.
And the Bible says that you're the wells of salvation, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. For we draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it wasn't from the well Jesus gave her the water, but it was. She went away a singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. One more time. Oh, Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water. She went forth to tell. Went away a singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. Wasn't from the well. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and the days will brighten if you come a little closer. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Well, I remember, brother, when I was riding, traveling down a road of sin. Head bending low, trouble in my soul, longing for the day it would end. But an old-time preacher came a-calling one day from the good book who led a few words. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, days did brighten when I. Can you sing it one more time, man? So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. For your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten when you come closer to the Lord. So we're working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out those roads above and make it easy for someone behind. So we're working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the roads and reach to heaven above. The roads to heaven are straight, also narrow. The gate around us trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares that hinder, offer my prayers and make it easy for someone behind. I keep working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the roads to lead above and make it. One more time together now. If you really mean that, one more time together. I keep working. Are you doing anything, folks? Are you doing any works? The Bible says you reward according to your labor. The talk of the lip only tends to repentance, but the Bible says there's reward in all labor. Are you working the roads? If you are, you get tired sometimes. Make a sacrifice, you get tired sometimes. So we're working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm gonna smooth out that road that leads to heaven, up above and make it. One more time together now. Can you sing it with me? So we're working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for someone. Somebody say hallelujah. I keep working the roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm gonna smooth out the roads and reach to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for someone behind. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you. And if I help you carry that load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. I see the mountain top. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. We're going to sing another chorus. I understand if some of you have to go. If you don't, stay with us. We're going to sing another chorus or two, and then we're going to dismiss. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. So come home. Come home at supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. So come home, come home at supper time. We're going.
And I was but a boy in days of childhood. I used to play till evening shadows come, then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Can you sing that with me now? Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home.
The evening shadows are falling. As we say, calendar-wise, it looks like the time has come. Many things are being made known, even the finishing of the mysteries of God, that we might understand who we are, what we are, where we've come from, and where we're at, and what our reward is. The time has come that God is revealing it to us, these wonderful things to us by His Spirit. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that as to the heavenly treasure from heavenly places. This heavenly treasure you now have in earthen vessels. And so then, knowing that the shadows are falling and the time of evening is nigh, then the only thing that you can do is come home. That's all that you can do, to come home. Shadows indicate spirits. And the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And when nighttime comes, children want to get into the house. They're looking for the light. Everything is frightening around them. People are terrified. They're torn all to pieces because there is now no more fidelity in the earth, no more consideration. People are turning into beasts, into freaks. It's not even safe on the streets anymore. Not even safe in your home anymore. And people are trying their best to understand. They're in peril of robbers and killers, thieves, mad men. They're being pursued by all kinds of diseases until their bodies won't hold up anymore. The oppression is so great until the insane asylums cannot hold the people anymore. Nerves are completely collapsing because the shadows are closing in. But at the same time, you that are Christians, you're getting stronger, greater, more mighty. Someone would say, but I'm not, Brother Pike. It's because of condemnation in your heart. See, you've done sin and you've tried to cover it up. You're not prospering. The Bible said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. The man that confesseth his sins and forsake them, if he forsakes them, all that he does shall prosper. If we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. He's faithful to us if we'll be faithful to him. So then, you're having problems because of unconfessed sin. Someone would say, well, I'm not having any problems, Brother Pike. I'm prospering, everything is well with me. That if that be true and you're in violation of the things of God, then are ye bastards. For the Bible said, as to chastisement, whereof all are partakers. For everything that cometh to him, he scourgeth him first. And if you can prosper in the world and not have any chastisement when you're not living for God and you're in transgression of God's word, then that means you're a bastard child. You could not be a heavenly child. You are that that belongs to the land of Esau because you are Esau. Because though God will give you the prosperity of life and the very best, you must seek first his kingdom, that all these things be added unto you. So then tonight, search your hearts, examine them, see if they're in the faith of the word tonight. Because the shadows are here, death is here, terror is here, heartaches is here. And it's not going to get any better. The Bible said wicked men shall wax worse and worse.
While you get your hands up, your eyes closed, and we're coming to the close of the service, I want you to remember the services Wednesday night. We'll be back to try to talk with you and try to tell you something about the Lord Jesus. On Wednesday, on Fridays, Sunday morning and Sunday nights. And you know, a real Christian, that's not their meeting nights. Every morning they meet with the Lord Jesus. Every night they meet with the Lord Jesus all day long. They meet with the Lord Jesus when they are asleep. They desire that their dreams be of the Lord Jesus. Because, as the songwriter said, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And they long to be more like Jesus. While you've got your hands up, your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Jerry from over in Mississippi to come and pray. And while Jerry comes to pray with us, take these few little things that we've said. We've not had time to really preach to you. These few little exhortations. May they help you and carry you over until the next service night. In the meantime, try to talk to somebody about the Lord. Try to pray. Try to fast. Try to study. Try to build your faith in God, because I'm telling you from my heart, some of you are already falling by the wayside. Some of you are already caving in because you didn't listen at me. You listen as a good listener, but you didn't incorporate in your life the things that I told you. The Bible said to give more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And the Bible said take heed how that you hear them. Because Satan will come and catch them away, as in Jesus' parable, when the fowls came and picked up the seed that fell by the wayside. So then the sower's out sowing. Make sure that this don't fall on stony ground. Make sure that it finds fertile soil, that you might bring forth a harvest, whether it's 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Make sure that you bring forth a harvest. That's the thing that's important. And so then, if you don't want to fall by the wayside, if you don't want the storm to get your house, then build it on the rock, that when the waves and the storms and the tempests of this life comes, that you can prevail against it, and that afterwards it can be said of your house, and that house fell not because it was founded upon a rock. Don't build it on the shifting sands of theology as to trust in the arm of flesh, as in the medical life and in the doctors, and as in the philosophers of this world. Build it on the rock of Christ, His eternal word. And that word will never waver. So then, you don't have to waver. And nothing will ever move that rock. And if you fasten yourself to it, you'll never fall. The Lord enumerated some things and said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. These few things that we enumerate to you from day to day, do these things, and it won't be possible for you to fall. Though men might desire your fall, you'll never fall. But beloved friend, if you're not built on the rock, you're going to fall. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be a year from now, it might be 5 years from now. But disaster, calamity, problems, heartache, sorrow, it's awaiting you. It's got to come, because the scriptures cannot be broken.